Make Walters your spot, not only before and after every game at Nationals Park, but Walters also is right by Audi Field, and DC United, the Washington Spirit, and the DC Defenders are all in season.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And Gore rocks, kicks, and delivers. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with a slider. And Mackenzie Gore is into double digits with his 10th strikeout of the afternoon. Check swing. Did he go? They'll appeal. Yes, he did. Strike three. Gore strikes out the side. 11 strikeouts to match his career high. And a 1-2-3 bottom of the fifth inning. The kick and the pitch. Swing and a ground ball. Past the diving third baseman Schumann and down the left field line. Lipscomb scores. Adams around second, heads for third. And in the second with a big hit, an RBI double to give the Nationals that insurance run with his first RBI in the big leagues this year. And that is Jacob Young. And the Nationals back in front by two. It's Washington 3 and Oakland 1.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Sunday, April 14th, 2024, along with MadisonSports.com Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Oakland Coliseum. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi Podcast. It was on August 2nd, 2022, that we had the Juan Soto trade, the Nats trading Juan Soto and Josh Bell to the San Diego Padres for a package of six players, including five prospects. Saturday, April 13th, 2024, provided a nice snapshot from a Nats perspective of where we are with that trade. A 3-1 Nats win at the Oakland A's in Game 2 of a three-game series as the Nats improved to 6-8 in this regular season. A key player who the Nats got from the Padres, Mackenzie Gore, he in this win at the A's was outstanding. Five scoreless innings, 11 strikeouts versus one walk. Another key player who the Nats got from the Padres, C.J. Abrams. He in this win at the A's went 2-for-4 with an RBI triple, a double, and an intentional walk. Hey, another key player who the Nats got from the Padres, James Wood. He on Saturday in a doubleheader sweep for the Nats AAA affiliate, the Rochester Red Wings, continued to do well. His OPS for this AAA season now is at 1,254. Time will tell on who won the Juan Soto trade and by how much. But Saturday, a good day for the Nats from that perspective. Coming up later in the show, another shout out. If you on an episode of this podcast would like to wish a happy birthday, a congratulations, a get well wish, or whatever to someone who you care about, email Tim Shovers. The email address is natschatpodcast@gmail.com. Mark, we on Saturday saw six Nats pitchers combined for 18 strikeouts versus two walks. That was quite a performance by the Nats pitching staff.
It was top to bottom, Al, but Mackenzie Gore stands out to me above all the rest. And this was a day that reminds you why they were so high on him in the first place, why he was such an important part of that trade package for Juan Soto. This was the guy all along who they know has the ability to be an ace. And he has that ability because he's got the stuff, number one, but he's got the mindset that says, my stuff is better than anything you're putting out there, and I'm just going to overpower you with it. And more than anything, I think he showed that in this game. He just relied on his fastball and overwhelmed Oakland's hitters with it. And you want to nitpick, the only negative thing about it is he only went five innings, 90 pitches, but he's still young and he's going to learn and hopefully get better. This, to me, aside from that, this was all the evidence you needed, why so many people are so high on him and why there's real reason to believe this is the ace of the team for a long time.
It certainly was an ace-like performance. 5 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts versus 1 walk. He gave up just 4 hits, all of which were singles. You mentioned the nit to pick, 90 pitches, but he threw a lot of strikes, 59 strikes versus just 31 balls. If you're going to be as dominant as 11 strikeouts in 5 innings, it's going to be hard to keep the pitch count down. So there is that sort of paradox, that push-pull of you want to be a strikeout pitcher, but being that will drive up your pitch count. So I guess it's kind of a question of, are you willing to sacrifice volume of work for excellence of work?
Yeah, and what, 11 of his 15 outs are strikeouts. So that's a guaranteed 3+ pitches for every one of those. You know, they'll take that. There's a little bit here and there he can do. I think they fouled off, I think, 11 pitches, 11 fastballs of his. There's some little things he can do. But I mean, it's not like he was walking anybody either. I think it was 1 walk, right? Yeah, 1 walk and 11 strikeouts in the 5 innings. And there will also be a point here that Davey Martinez will start to ease up on the leash, let him go further. He said this time of year, no reason to push that. They really are determined to get him through this whole season. They don't want to be talking about his innings, you know, limit or anything like that by the time we get to September. So they're going to let the reins off. They're going to let him top 100 pitches and do this more regularly as they go along. But on this day, what he gave him, there was no reason to mess around anymore. Say, great job. Go watch the rest of the game from the dugout. And his relievers kept up what he was doing and pitched a great game all around.
They did, very much so. You know, it stood out to me watching Gore. We've talked so often about Josiah Gray and how he uses all these different pitches and he doesn't really trust his fastball. Mackenzie Gore is a great fastball and he uses it a ton. According to StatCast, he threw his 4-seam fastball on 58% of his pitches in this game. He has a good fastball. He uses it. He gets results with it. That's not to say that you have to be that way to be successful in MLB, but boy, it sure helps to be that way. He is that way, and we saw the benefits of that way on Saturday.
When you can throw it 97 and locate it, not just always in one spot, this is what you can do. And that's why I said it was almost like he was acknowledging, hey, this fastball is better than any of you up there trying to face it. So until you proved you can hit it, I'm going to keep throwing it. The A's swung at 25 of his fastballs. He got whiffs on 12 of them. You know, you think about swings and misses, you're usually thinking about breaking balls, off-speed pitches. No, he just said, come and get it and show me you can do anything with it, and they could not. Now, this isn't the toughest lineup he's going to face all season long. It matched his career high in strikeouts with 11. The previous one was last year at Kansas City, so these are against some lesser opponents. But let's remember, he's still learning, he's still growing as a pitcher, and you need to be able to do this against a lesser opponent to set the groundwork for whatever you're going to do down the road when the games matter more. So I love the aggressiveness from him. Riley Adams, who caught him, was saying how there were a few times with 2 strikes that Gore himself would take his pitch comm and punch in the pitch he wanted to throw before Riley could even give him a suggestion. And Riley actually said he loved that about him. That's confidence. And most of the time they were on the same page anyway. So what I like about Mackenzie Gore, what stands out about him, it's not just that he has the stuff. They've had guys with stuff before, but he's got some swagger. He's got confidence to say that I'm better than you. And they haven't had that many of those guys over the years who could do that. And certainly not from the left side. So you put that all together, it is the complete package. The only thing now for him to do is just show that he can do this consistently. And it's not, you know, once a month that he puts together a start like this.
And in a season in which we have the official retirement of Steven Strasburg, perhaps the Nats can have a grown ace, an organizational grown ace for the first time since Strasburg, since Gore. Now, he was not drafted by the Nats, that is true, but he has been at least in part developed by the Nats. And hopefully we're seeing a real ascension here. Really good series so far for the Nats starters. Again, Oakland, not a great hitting team, but Jake Irvin in the 2-1 10-inning loss late night on Friday night, 1 run in 6 innings, and we had what Gore did on Saturday. And we'll see if the man who in a lot of ways has been the Nats' best starting pitcher this season, Trevor Williams, can cap the trifecta with whatever he does in the series finale on Sunday afternoon.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Young doesn't run. The pitch to Abrams is ripped down the right field line. It's fair. This one is headed toward the corner. Young has turned on the Jets. He's rounding second. He's going to third. He's going to try to score. Trouble in the right field corner for Butler. So as Young scores, Abrams into third with a stand-up triple. And the Nationals have their first lead of the series. 1-0 over Oakland.
C.J. Abrams. You know, it feels like, and it's early, right? But it's really starting to feel like as Abrams goes, so the Nationals' offense goes. And when Abrams does well, this team tends to do well. And if he has a rather quiet game, then maybe the Nats don't do so well. 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts in the loss on Friday night. Abrams in this win on Saturday. Starting shortstop, number one batter, 2-for-4, RBI triple, double, and an intentional walk. And each hit came on a first pitch of a plate appearance. So we talk so often about the importance of working counts, and that is important. But, you know, if you see a good pitch and you swing at it and you do something good with it, you know, props to you. Abrams in the top of the first, a leadoff first pitch, opposite field double to the left center field gap. Abrams in an Nats one run third, a one out first pitch, RBI triple down the right field line for a 1-0 Nats lead. And then Abrams in the top of the ninth drew a two out intentional walk. So many triples are the results of fielders misplaying balls. This was a legitimate triple by C.J. Abrams. This was not a play that like could have been ruled an error. No, this was a legitimate triple by Abrams. And seeing what the Nats have with him and the guy who has been their pretty regular number nine batter here lately, Jacob Young, as a starting center fielder with Victor Robles out, there is a real dimension of speed with those two that's pretty fun to watch.
It was so much fun to watch that play because you have Jacob Young leading off first. Abrams hits the ball right behind him down the right field line. And then from above, you're just watching the two guys circle the bases as fast as they can. And this was a great stat. The sprint speed on them both, Abrams was at 28.6 feet per second. Young was at 28.5 feet per second. Abrams barely got him. But to see them both go 270 feet in unison like that, it's a lot of fun. And we've talked about this element of the team, you know, what they have speed. This is a big part of their game now. And so you love to see it come into play. And I agree with you, what you said earlier. I do think it's kind of as C.J. Abrams goes, so go the Nationals. He is the tone setter at the top of the lineup. Most of the time, if he has a good game, they have a good game as a team because he can do it in multiple ways. He could do it with his speed. He could do it with power. He was aggressive, you're right, first pitch, but he has also shown lately an ability to work the count at times when needed. And that's really nice to see. Like Mackenzie Gore, more and more you see C.J. Abrams and you say to yourself, this is what they saw all along, why he was such a big part of that trade. And you see the star potential there, not just a really good player, but you see star potential from him that you don't see in most players.
Very much so. Jacob Young in this game, 2-for-3 with an RBI double and an infield single. He in that Nats one run third had a one out infield single on a line drive off a starting pitcher, Joe Boyle, despite having been down at 1.12. And Young in an Nats one run ninth, a two out RBI double to left field for a 3-1 Nats lead. Some breathing room for Kyle Finnegan before his appearance was Good to see that. Also, it was good to see Jesse Winker produce yet again. Winker in this game as the Nats' starting designated hitter and number three batter, 1-for-4 with a double. And he had a rather impressive stolen base. So Winker in the Nats' 1-run-6, a leadoff opposite field double to the left center field gap, despite having been down to the count of 1.02. And he had a steal at third base. And this was a steal on which he got the steal. Despite being picked off, he beat the throw from second to third. Jesse Winker, every game is doing something that stands out, and he did it again on Saturday.
And it's not always what you expect it to be. You know, he's making great plays in the field. He's stealing third base, of all things. And that looked like it was going to be a toot plan, if ever there was one, when he takes off and they pick off behind him. But you know what? When that happens, just keep going. Try to beat the throw. And he did. It was reviewed. He thought for a moment they might overturn it, but no, he was good. And that proved really important because that set the stage for Luis Garcia's RBI double a little bit after that, which a hit that they desperately needed. At that point, they were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position after going 0-for-10 the previous night. So that's in the span of about 19 hours, they had gone 0-for-18 with runners in scoring position. They needed that one, and then they needed Jacob Young's double later in the game. They still only went 2-for-12 overall, runners in scoring position. They've got to get better at that. This is a game, when you get that kind of pitching performance, and you have as much traffic on the bases as they did, you should have a much more comfortable lead. And there was a point there that I'm thinking to myself, between Gore and Irvin, you had 11 innings, 1 run and 5 hits allowed, and they may not come out of that with either of them getting the win. Thankfully, Gore got it in this case, but you got to take advantage of those performances when you get it. And they certainly had ample opportunity to extend their lead. They did it in the end. They got enough, but it felt like that's a day where they could have easily scored 5 or 6 runs.
You mentioned him, Luis Garcia Jr. He is having like one productive game after another here. He is off to a really good start. Garcia on Saturday as the Nats starting second baseman and number six batter, 2-for-4 with an RBI double and a single. He did strike out twice, but he also had a nice defensive play in the bottom of the ninth. Garcia in the top of the fourth, a 2-out full count single through the right side of the infield despite having been down at 1.12. Garcia in the Nats 1-run-6, Mark just mentioned this, a 2-out RBI double to deep center field on an 0-2 pitch for a 2-0 Nats lead. And then Garcia in the bottom of the ninth made a nice leaping catch of a Nick Allen liner for the second out. Here's something that may surprise at least some of you. Luis Garcia and CJ Abrams have the same number of hits for this regular season, 13. Garcia's batting average is appreciably better than Abrams, 333 to 289. Garcia's on-base percentage is better than Abrams, 350 to 347. CJ Abrams has been a force so far this year. No one's going to dispute that. But so too has Luis Garcia. He has been impressive.
And made a leaping catch at second base as well in this game. It's kind of coming together for him. It does create a dilemma that they're going to face here in a couple of days. If Nick Senzel is about ready to come off the IL, and initially the thought was, well, if Trey Lipscomb is on the team, he's going to be at second base because Luis Garcia is probably playing his way out of a job. And instead, he's completely reversed it from what he was doing this spring. I don't think you can even entertain that notion right now of bumping him. And so of the three, I mean, I think Lipscomb is the one who's actually struggling the most right now, and we may see him get sent down here in the next few days when Senzel is ready. But credit to Luis Garcia for forcing that issue and doing everything they've been asking him to do at last. Good quality at bats, better defense, staying focused at all times. You know, it's only 14 games. You don't want to get too excited yet, but there's been a lot of good things from him at a time when he really needed to show it, because I think we knew coming into the season, the clock was ticking there and he needed to show it, or if not, he was going to be out of a job here soon.
And we know the public frustration that has been vented by both Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo about Luis Garcia. So good for him for doing as he's doing. I'd like to explore the Nationals catching situation here. So first of all, a salute to Riley Adams, the Nats starting catcher for a day game after a night game, doing well in this game on Saturday. Number eight batter, 2-for-4, 2 singles, top of the fifth, a leadoff single to center field. And Adams in the Nats 1-run-9th, a 2-out opposite field single to right center field on a 1-2 pitch. But again, no K-Bert Ruiz. We know that he has been sick. He hasn't played in a game since Monday. So a few things stand out. Number one, as you've noted on X, K-Bert has been well enough to catch some warm-up tosses. So if he's well enough to do that, I guess he's still not well enough to play. I'm assuming that that's the reality. The other thing, though, is this. So normally, professional athletes don't miss multiple games due to illness. Like, if you miss a game due to illness, that stands out. He now has missed multiple games due to illness. Why is he still around the team? If this illness is that severe, you don't want him getting other people sick. Why is he with the team? Why isn't he back in his hotel room locked up so that he doesn't infect other people?
Yeah, I've been wondering that myself. I've been feeling a little under the weather here in the last 24 hours, and I wonder if I got anything from K-Bird. I saw him in the clubhouse this morning, and he did not look great. He was hunched over in his locker, still with street clothes on. I think they were hoping that maybe he'd be good enough to play. They waited a while to put out the lineup, and then he couldn't do it. And so you're thinking, all right, well, he's out, and you know, hopefully one more day of rest and he'll be fine. And then all of a sudden you see him going out there to help warm up the pitcher between innings. Now, he did so with a hoodie on, with a batting glove on his throwing hand. Like, he did not look great. And you could tell he's trying to bundle himself up. I can only imagine he wanted to stay here just in case something crazy came up during the game and, hey, we need you. And he didn't want to let them down by not even being available on site. But he hasn't played since Monday. And that's becoming a problem, especially since they sent Drew Millis back to Rochester after his one game. The sense was that maybe on Sunday he'd be good, but then after the game, it sounds like that wasn't necessarily going to be the case anymore. And they kind of told Riley Adams, hey, go get some rest because we may need you for a third straight day on Sunday. To his credit, Riley Adams has done a great job here filling in for him. You hope it doesn't go any more beyond that. But yeah, this is called a flu, I guess, that has lingered longer than you would normally think. And what's weird about it is along the way, there have been moments and days that he thought he was doing better, and then it kind of regresses back. So yeah, in some ways, I was surprised to see him here. On the other hand, I can understand that he probably feels like, well, I'm good enough to do this. Maybe, God forbid, something happens to Adams, who he took a foul tip off the face mask in the game. And there's a brief moment you're thinking, oh no, that I guess Cabert wanted to still be here. The ultimate backup emergency is Ildemar Vargas. And he actually went out there and warmed up Mackenzie Gore for one inning with all the gear on. The funny thing about that, Mackenzie's throwing him fastballs. He tried to throw him a curveball. Vargas did not look very comfortable with that at all. And he said, nope, that's it. No more curveballs, only fastballs. Mackenzie laughed about it. And as Vargas went back to the dugout, everybody in the dugout was cheering for him. And he was playing it up and hamming it up. He had a great time with that. That's all fun and games when it's between innings. If something actually happened where he had to go behind the plate and actually catch in a major league game, that is a problem. We know years ago what happened when Matt Lecroy tried to catch. It was a disaster. You don't ever want it to come to that, and hopefully it will not come to that here.
But normally when a player is sick and has something that is severe enough to keep him out for multiple games, do they still keep him around the team, or do they normally say, hey, stay in the hotel room so you don't get other people sick?
Yeah, I've seen both sides of that. Certainly in the last few years with COVID, it was kind of like, get him out. We don't want him infecting anybody else. I don't know specifics here. Maybe he's been on some antibiotics for enough days that it's not contagious anymore. I know he's taken something for it. This is like day five for him of having this. So the thought was 5 to 7 days and that should be it. I don't have a good answer for you there. Believe me, I was thinking to myself, like, why is he here? Shouldn't he be resting back at the hotel? But when you play a position like that, where there is so little depth, you may just feel a professional obligation to say, hey, I'm not great, but I'm good enough. Let me just stay here just in case you need me.
Well, we certainly wish K-Bert Ruiz the best. We know that he loves to catch. I mean, these last few seasons, he has not wanted to sit on days. So this has got to be killing him to not be playing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's your Dylan Cruz update from Saturday night's 7-3 Senators victory in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Cruz went 1-for-3 with a double, and cleanup hitter Yo-Yo Morales had two hits, including a home run, while playing first base. Now back to the show.
Now the kick, and here it comes. Swing and a line drive left center deep. Rosario going back, way back. He's there, and he makes the catch waist high off his left side. And a curly W's in the books here at the Oakland Coliseum.
So, yeah, Mackenzie Gore was great in this 3-1 win at the A's on Saturday, and so too was the Nats' bullpen. One run in four innings, seven strikeouts. Derek Law faced four batters, did get just the two outs. Robert Garcia allowed a run in facing five batters, but getting just three outs. But he did record three strikeouts, and the first out that Garcia got was big. He came into the game, bottom of the sixth, runners on first and second, two outs. Nats nursing a 2-0 lead, and Garcia generated a swinging strikeout of J.J. Bleday on just four pitches for the third out. Now, Garcia in the bottom of the seventh did allow a run on a one-out first pitch, opposite field single by Nick Allen through the right side of the infield, a wild pitch that advanced Allen to second base and a two-out RBI double by Abraham Toro off the left field wall to cut the Nats' lead to 2-1. Jordan Weems came into the game, bottom of the seventh, runner on second, two outs, Nats up 2-1, and Weems generated a big strikeout, a swinging strikeout of Zach Geloff for the third out. Hunter Harvey, a scoreless bottom of the eighth with two strikeouts. Kyle Finnegan, a perfect bottom of the ninth for the save. This was, I guess you have to say, okay, it wasn't necessarily a dominant game for the Nats bullpen because some guys were put on base. Nats did give up a run, but seven strikeouts, those big strikeouts in big spots by Garcia and Weems. Harvey, scoreless bottom of the eighth with two Ks. Finnegan, perfect bottom of the ninth with a strikeout. The value of the strikeout, the impact of the strikeout, we saw it with Gore, but we also saw it with Nats relievers on Saturday.
Yeah, and you've mentioned many times about how as a bullpen, they aren't always great at getting the swings and misses, and that sometimes they rely too much on contact. So it was nice to see that from them. I wish they didn't have to use five relievers in a game they won 3-1. Several of them had also pitched Friday night. And so it does make you concerned that if they're in a position on Sunday to try to win the series, they may not have all of these guys available to them. So that part wasn't ideal. But I think Robert Garcia, I know he gave up the run, but he's been pretty good. We've talked about it. That was a big strikeout. He was fired up for it. Jordan Weems was fired up for his strikeout to get out of a jam. Hunter Harvey, thank God everything is fine after he took that line drive in San Francisco off him. He's looked great ever since. And Finnegan, I don't blame him for the loss the other night. That's a bad spot to be thrown into in extra innings with the winning run on second base automatically. But I think it was good for him to come out and have a no drama save because too often there haven't been a lot of those for him. So it was nice to see him just take care of business and not even give the A's a reason to think they could come back.
Harvey and Garcia, each guy so far this regular season, 13 strikeouts in just 7 1/3 innings. So you'd love to see something like that. And so here we are with the Nats. They now are 3-2 on this 9-game trip out west. If they get the win on Sunday, you're looking at 4-2. And all you have to do is win one of the three games at the Dodgers to have a winning trip out west, which I think most people would have signed up for. I mean, 5-4 or better is terrific given where the Nats are at. You certainly don't assume anything. And by the way, you can win more than one game at the Dodgers, all right? But just if you're, you know, sort of forecasting this thing, this could end up being a very nice road trip for the Nats to begin this season off what, remember, was a 2-6 start to this regular season. So, you know, a trip like this can really do some harm to you. This could actually end up being a trip that does some good for the Nats.
Yeah, a lot of work to be done. And those three games at Dodger Stadium are not going to be easy at all. But we talked about it before, like they played better on the road last year than at home. And I feel like even on the West Coast in particular, they seem to have played better. I don't know why that would be, but give them credit. They don't, you know, come into these games intimidated. I don't think, certainly not these two teams that they faced up here in the Bay Area. And they're pitching well right now. You know, they're really not hitting that great at the moment, but they're getting good quality pitching and giving them a chance. And most of these games they are in. That's why the, you know, Harvey and Finnegan and Weems are pitching so many games because there aren't a lot of blowouts one way or the other. You would hope that Trevor Williams can continue the trend and pitch well on Sunday. He has surprisingly been one of their better pitchers so far. I don't know how many people expect that to last, but this is a good park for him to pitch in. He's a home run pitcher, as we know. This is a tough home run park, just like San Francisco was. So maybe it's not the worst place in the world to put him out there and try to get a series win on Sunday.
And when it comes to that series at the Dodgers, the mystery starter for the Nats in that series, that would be for game one, the game on Monday night. Is that correct?
By all counts, it is going to be Monday. And I think we're going to get an answer finally on Sunday about what their plan is there. But a couple things to note here. Jackson Rutledge, he did take the line drive off his ankle the other day in Rochester. That was on Thursday. So even if he's fine, he wouldn't be ready again till Tuesday. So I don't think that puts him in the mix for it. Mitchell Parker is a name to watch. a left-hander who would be making his major league debut, but he's had a good start to the season at Rochester. I don't know that you want to subject a kid to that for your major league debut, but they may have no choice. So he could be the guy. And then Davey also did say, in talking with Mike Rizzo, they're contemplating at least the idea of a bullpen game, depending on how things worked out this weekend. Now, using five guys on Saturday after having used four on Friday, that would require very minimal bullpen usage on Sunday, I think, to pull that off. So I don't expect that to be the answer. So as we sit here right now, if I had to put odds on this, I think Mitchell Parker is the most likely option to make his major league debut Monday night on Jackie Robinson Day at Dodger Stadium. That would be something.
Wow. Good luck, kid, in that yeah, game.
Go get him.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the other thing, too, with the bullpen game is they don't have like that classic long reliever. I mean, the longest outing we've seen from a Nats reliever this season, I think, is two innings. I think that's it. So, you know, normally a bullpen game, you'd like at least one guy to maybe go three. Not that, like, none of these guys could do that, but none seem to really profile as being a reliever who would be particularly adept at that. All right. We've talked about the shout-outs that you can put forth on the Nats Chat podcast this season. Think of it like a message on the Nationals Park scoreboard. And this comes to us from Patrick. So we're reading this in the voice of Patrick. Congratulations to my good friend and Nationals fan, Mike Frost, who has followed Steven Strasburg into retirement. Together, Mike and I watched Strass's debut and his epic relief appearance against the Brewers in the 2019 postseason. In between, we saw Adam Eaton's knee buckle at first base, Matt Wieters get hit on the backswing against the Cubs, and Jason Wirth walk off the Cardinals in the 2012 playoffs. Mike, over the past 30 years, you have sometimes been my neighbor, often been my coworker, and always been my friend. I hope you enjoy having more free time to watch the Nats whenever there is a day game on the schedule. I know you will be good to go. Congratulations to Mike, and thank you for that, Patrick. We appreciate that.
Those are some pretty big games in Nats history they've been a part of and witnessed, some good and some not so good. Hopefully there are more good ones to come in the future for them in person.
And I hope that Mike had Scott Boras representing him in whatever retirement contract negotiations might have been taking place there. But thank you, and all the best to Mike in retirement. Hit us up on X at Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. As we have been telling you, we're now on YouTube. So if you enjoy watching things on YouTube, consider watching this podcast on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is at Nats Chat Podcast. We have a website that we invite you to check out too, natschatpodcast.com, at which you can buy a Nats Chat Podcast t-shirt. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. Nats Chat is on the radio Sunday morning 9 to 10 on ESPN Richmond, which is 106.1 FM in the Richmond, Virginia area, and on Priority Sports Radio 94.1 in the Virginia Beach area. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat Podcast.
Now the pitch. Swing a line drive left center field. Chasing back is Schumann. It's going to be over his head. He misjudged it. This one's going to go to the wall. Winker scores. Garcia pulls in at second with a double. And the Nationals get their first hit of the series with a runner in scoring position. And they now lead it 2-0.